John chapter 3, starting with verse 1, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, You must be born again. I was trying to come up with a good title for this sermon. And we hear a lot about the Constitution and the amendments. And I want to title this one, The First Amendment and the Sinner. The First Amendment and a Sinner. You know, we talk about different kinds of amendments that are in the Constitution that go along with it. The first one that I think about when I think about the Constitution and the amendments is the Second Amendment. The right to have a gun or a rifle. And most of you in this room have one. But you know something? I'm so thankful that you have a right to bear arms. Most of you in here have one at your house. You use it for protection. We have one. And I want you to know I'm thankful for this country allowing that. You know, I have one. Thank God I've never had to pull it on anybody. And you do too. Isn't that great? You have it. But the Constitution of the United States, the Second Amendment, gives you the right to bear arms or to have that gun that you have. And I know Brother Carl is like me. Ain't nobody taking mine. Amen? I got one and I'm hanging on to it. But there's another amendment you don't hear a whole lot about. That's the 14th Amendment. Has to do with life. Now, in way of introduction, I'm going to get to something here. Life begins in the mother's womb. Amen. Let me prove that to you. Over here in Galatians chapter 1 and verse 15, notice what Paul says. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. You see that? He called Paul into the ministry while he was in the mother's womb for the purpose of to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen immediately. I conferred not with flesh and blood. We also find, you don't have to turn, but in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5, notice what Jeremiah says. Before I formed thee in the belly, God says, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And then he says, Ah, Lord, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. So what I want you to see as we get into this sermon is that life begins in the womb of a woman. Amen? That's what the Bible says. So that means that life is going on right now in anyone that is carrying a child. I don't know if anyone in this room that's doing so. But the Bible talks about, talking about the 14th Amendment and about life, there are two births. And I read you from the text verse in John chapter 3. Notice what it says in verse 6, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. So the first birth, and that's a child in the mother's womb, is a child having to be dependent on the flesh of a woman. Amen? But then Jesus told Nicodemus, you must be born again. That's the second birth. So there's two births involved in somebody's life. The first one, of course, God allows a person has life while they're in the mother's womb. I'm so thankful that the Supreme Court saw this. Amen? I do. But secondly, let me say this. If a mother has a baby, she's pro-life. Now, secondly, those out there that are going ahead and protesting right now, their mother was pro-life. I want you to think about that for a moment. They're out there hollering there that I want to have my body do what I want with it, and I want to be able to have an abortion anytime that I want to. But their mother wasn't that way. Their mother allowed them to be born. I don't know if people think of it that way. But Jesus said to Nicodemus, you must be born again. You know what that tells me? Kind of a play on words here. But God is pro-life. Hang on now, church. I'm leading to something. He said in verse 7, you must be born again. Now, again in our text verse, that which is born of the flesh is flesh. That's the first birth. The second birth, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So those of you in this room that have been saved, you have experienced two births in your life.
Right, amen.
I'm still leading to something. Jesus Christ will never perform an abortion on your second birth.
Right.
Now, hang on, church. He sealed you, the Bible said. The day that you got born again, he sealed you until the day of redemption. For a person to lose their salvation, Jesus Christ would have to abort your salvation. But the Bible says a man or a woman that's been born again is sealed until the day of redemption. God made sure that your life is going to continue. You have been protected by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. God is going to make sure you live forever. Amen? Something else. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, you don't have to turn, but I was looking at this yesterday. A person is called a babe in Christ. Did you see that? A baby in Christ. How would you like God to be the kind of God that would perform an abortion on your salvation? When you got saved, you were a baby in Christ. He let you grow. He lets you grow to the age that you are right now, and you're just as saved now as you've ever been. Thank God when a person first gets saved, they are a baby in Jesus Christ. You can go back to the place in this room where you got saved. Some of you may have got saved in this church. You may have gotten saved in another church. Maybe you got saved at your house. Most of the time a preacher is involved. Or either a teacher is involved. And we know that the Holy Ghost of God is involved. But what happens when you got saved? A baby is born. Amen? That's what the Bible says. And not only, church, is a baby born, yes, but keep in mind with that birth, you were delivered. Now think about that for a moment. I've never preached this before. But when a person comes into this world, somebody delivered them into this world. And I guarantee you, like Jesus Christ was delivered, the Holy Ghost of God made sure that you were born into this world forever. The baby was born, you were delivered, and get this, you have a right to live forever. And you will never be aborted by your heavenly Father, because God is pro-life forever and ever and ever. And God will never say, I never knew you.
That's right, amen.
Now, we're leading to something. Over here, you don't have to turn, but in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, I don't have it marked, 1 Corinthians chapter 8. And starting with verse 9, the Bible says, but take heed lest by any means this liberty of yours become a stumbling block to those that are weak. If any man see thee, which has knowledge, sit at meat in an idol's temple, shall not the conscience of him that which is weak be emboldened to eat those things which are offered to idols? and through thy knowledge shall the weak brother perish for whom Christ died. The First Amendment has to do with the rights of a person when it comes to speech. Are you with me so far? Understand this. When you got saved, you have a right to speak. But watch it now. A person that has been born again has some rights also. I'm talking about the First Amendment for them. And we need to always recognize this. What you say since you've been saved to this world makes a difference. Just like you have a right to say what you want. A person that's never been born again, they ought to hear what comes out of your mouth, and they have a right to hear what you say. Amen? For example, you're saved. They have a right to expect you not to be a smart aleck. A smart aleck. Now, I was looking up that word smart aleck. It means annoyingly conceited, has an answer for everything, to know it all tendencies, a fault finder. Let me remind you of something, church. When you got saved, you are no better than anybody else. The difference is Jesus Christ. You are no better than somebody that's never been saved. And understand, when you came into this world, when God let you be delivered, when you were born again, and he saved your soul, and he's never aborted you, you're saved until you die. People are going to look at your life, and you have no right to be a smart aleck, and a lot of Baptists are. My Bible tells me there's only one good, and that's God. There's only one good, and it ain't you, and it ain't me. Amen? So no need to be stuck up. Amen? Remember where God found you. And glory to God, we should never look down our nose at another person or a person that's not saved. You were once lost. You were once on your way to hell. Never look down at somebody that's never been saved. Never look down at another church member unless you're sinless. Boy, y'all awfully quiet this morning. Are you sinless?
No.
Well, I don't care who it is. If there's somebody in this church and you say, I just something about him or something about her, you don't have a right to look down at that person. Amen. Look in the mirror. Take care of yourself first. Amen. Because there's no sinless people in this world. And the First Amendment, glory to God, they ought to know what comes out of your mouth is not you being a smart aleck.
Right.
Second thing. They expect you to love your Bible.
That's right. Amen.
They may hate the Bible. Now, I'm talking about a lost person. They may hate the Bible. They may detest the Word of God. They have that right. They live in America. But you don't. You know why? Because it's incorruptible seed. And when you got born again, you were born again by incorruptible seed. And there's some of you in this room, you don't even read your Bible. It's a decoration.
Yep.
You have it in your house. You bring it to church, but you hardly ever read it.
Right.
Dust collector. Decoration in your house. But you're saved. Boy, I know, we could have a funeral here so cold.
Yeah.
Amen.
Right.
You know I'm telling the truth. Somebody that's not saved expects you to love the Bible, though they may hate it.
Right.
That's their right. But glory to God, you have no excuse. Jesus Christ saved your soul. He lives in your body. He used something that's incorruptible seed to get you saved. And the words in this book, this old King James, is absolutely perfect and without error.
Right.
Now, I threw this in here. Ridge Memorial Baptist Church is part of maybe the second or third largest correspondence Bible college in America. You were here for the graduation. There is no excuse in this room or in this church not to know the Word of God. Well, Brother Paul, I'm just too old. Now watch it now. We have students that are 18 to 88. Don't give me that excuse that I'm too old. I'll say it nicely. That's a bunch of bull. Amen? They pay tuition, glory to God, for church members at Ridge Memorial Baptist Church. The education is free. Most of you in here never thought about it. You don't care. You've never come to me and say, give me a course. If you have, it's been a long time ago. But watch this. If LSU or Southeastern or UNO were to say, the members at Ridge Memorial Baptist Church, we've chosen you, and we will offer free courses for you because you're a member of Ridge Memorial Baptist Church, LSU, Southeastern, or UNO, you jump at it. I'll take a free course. I want to get something there from LSU or Southeastern. You jump at it. You say, yes, sign me up. But here, people across this country depend on Ridge Memorial and the education that they get, and it's free to you and not free to them. You know why you don't jump at it? It's because it's this book right here. It's the Word of God. Talk about a stumbling block to people that have never been born again, to find out that even people at Ridge Memorial ought to love the Word of God more than that. A lot of them don't read it. And you have an opportunity to get learn more about the Word of God, whether you take tests or not, just to learn. Sometime, come up to me and say, Brother Paul, bring me a course. You don't have to take the test. At least take it home and learn the Word of God. If you do that, in 1 year, you'll know more about the Word of God than you've ever known before. Anyway, won't cost you any extra. Number three. Already mad at me, so let me go on. Number three. The right of a lost person for you to be different. On the job. Some people say have same old habits. But the First Amendment writes, expect you not to custom. And you don't have a job, all right, maybe you don't work. But if you're not careful, when you lose your temper, you'll cuss them out sometimes. It's too much griping and too much complaining with born-again Christians. They have a right to expect you not to talk and cuss them out, even though they're not saved, but they know there's supposed to be something different about you. They expect you not to dress like them. For the women not to go around there showing their thighs and half naked, going around showing everybody what they got. I'd like to think folks at Ridge Memorial is not like that. But I don't know what goes on. I just know you during the week. I mean, weekend. Let me tell you something. When you go to Walmart, you should never cause another man to stumble and to be in a praying position because if he looks up at you, he's going to sin. Well, if he was right with God, he wouldn't look. Don't insult my intelligence with that. Glory to God. But the world has a right to expect women and to expect men to look different, to dress right. And I'm talking about men especially, going around with their shirt unbuttoned. You've heard me say this before, showing off their two or three hairs. Amen. Trying to act macho. Let me tell you something. You're different. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. And this is offensive to the lost. Watch it now. A lost person might invite you that are saved to have a beer with them. But they expect you to turn them down. Hang on now, church. They may be trying to be friends with you and say, let's go on down to the bar room. We'll have one beer together. Now, you got a choice to make. You're saved. You're on your way to heaven. You couldn't go to hell if you wanted to. Now, you got a choice. You could tell them, oh, well, I thank you very much for the invite. You don't have to be a smart aleck, but tell them, I'm a born-again Christian. I can't do that. Now, that would be something that will make them want to come to church because they would see that what you got is the real thing. Amen? Now, I don't know if anybody in here would do that. I don't know if anybody in here that's going to Hooters or anything like that. Amen. I know Brother Wayne used to, but I don't know. Amen. But we're to keep a good test. We're just kidding you, Brother Wayne. But watch it now. If you slip up, because I know you're not perfect on the job, if you slip up and say a bad word, glory to God, learn to tell him I was wrong. I'm sorry. That will help. First Amendment rights. What comes out of your mouth, you got a right to say. But they've got a right to hear what comes out of your mouth with your freedom also. Number four, to be faithful to God's house. The First Amendment right, they have a right to expect you to go to church. He has a right, that person that's not saved, has a right to believe and to expect you to take your, not to take your boat to Lake Pontchartrain on Sunday. They have that right. They have a right because you're saved, you're born again, and they expect you to be in church. I love wild turkey hunting. I used to do a lot of it. Brother Carl still loves our hunting. I know what you mean. I love that too. But I want you to know I never went on Sunday. You can go what you want on Saturday. Do what you want. But on Sunday, you know, what would you think? Now you say you're just too smart aleck, Brother Paul. You're just too hard. What if I call Brother Robert? And he got up here and he said, Brother Paul, call me. Crowd's here like you are. He says, I'm not, Brother Paul called me, says he's not going to preach this morning. He's going fishing. Oh. Now what would you think? Why are you different from me? Because I'm a preacher? Because I'm a pastor? Well, we pay you to preach. That's no excuse. Maybe I would do that. Maybe the second week. I liked it so much, Brother Robert, I'm taking another week. I don't care what you all do at Ridge. I'm going to hunting this week. Boy, getting awfully quiet. Oh, my goodness. Ooh, honey, you all right, baby? Okay. So I do that 2 weeks in a row. You know what this church would do if I did that two or three times? Let's have a church meeting. Maybe it's time to get rid of Brother Paul. But you can miss and miss and miss, but you're still considered a great person in the church. That's what I'm talking about. And I'm not picking on anybody. I'm picking on the church, the whole church. Glory to God. You need this church. Did you hear me, church? You need this church. This is your church. This is your strength. Here you're loved. Here you're cared for. Here you find that people love each other. Guarantee you one thing. You need the preaching and the teaching that goes on here at Ridge Memorial Baptist Church. We are a different breed of church. I guarantee you, we're different. You won't find another church like this in Slidell. But here you find love, here you find forgiveness, and here you find a rare breed preacher. Amen? Amen. That's why one sermon I preached, that Brother Paul, we love you. Thank you. Boy, I didn't know I'd get an applause for that. Thank you. Do what, baby? Yeah, it was nice. Thank you. She straightened me out there. I don't know what to say now. You messed up my chain of thought here. All right. Thank you for that. But we are different. Amen? Church, hang on to your church. This is not a bad place to come on Sunday. This is a good place to be. Amen? Look forward to coming to the house of God. Some sermons will be a good whooping for you. Last week's sermon lifts you up. At least you can't accuse me of preaching the same thing. All right, number five. You know, this on this First Amendment right, they have a right to know that you pray for them. They have a right to see you pray sometimes. Watch it now. You go to a restaurant. Before you tear into that fried catfish, you ought to pray. Amen. Thank God for it. And if you don't do it, you insult God and you insult the lost. The First Amendment right for you to pray for them, because your speaking is coming out of your mouth or coming out of your heart, and somebody around you, even if they don't hear you, they see your lips moving most of the time. When they are sick, watch it now, they have a right to expect you to pray for them. Even if they are not saved, even if they're not born again, they have a right to know that you pray for them. Hey, we're saved. The Bible says we're peculiar people. We're different. We are not like the world. And that's why I'm trying to remind you of your First Amendment rights to speak. And glory to God, what comes out of your mouth, they have a right to hear sometimes. They have a right to expect you to control your temper. If you lose your temper on the job and curse out your boss, you owe them an apology. Amen. Even if you're right. Wait a minute, brother. But no, I said even if you're right, because there's a better way to handle it than to curse. You're different. You're saved. You don't belong to the devil. You belong to the Lord. And you just play right into their hands when that happens. You say, well, I don't work. Yeah, but I'm talking about somebody you think mistreated you at Walmart or some store or something like that, or at school. You have no right to curse them out. Talk with them. Show some Christianity. Amen? You can get just as much accomplished. I know you're not perfect. Neither am I. But you're saved. That's the difference. Before you ever came into this world, in your mother's womb, you were alive. God knew you. God knew you according to Jeremiah. He knew you before you were ever born. God knew you were going to get saved one day. And I'm so glad he's pro-life. Amen. God doesn't look and say, I don't like that one. You know, the Calvinistic people might as well believe that God's pro-abortion. Because the Calvinistic movement said God picks who he wants to save and the other one to send to hell. That's the death warrant right there. Might as well kill him. Amen. Because they're never going to have a chance. They get a life here, then they go to hell. Oh, boy, I just threw that in there. But I know you're not perfect, but you're saved. Amen? Amen. Admit like David did sometimes, I have sinned. That's what I have to do. When I sin, instead of hiding it, say, God, I'm sorry. You know what I pray? God, don't let me preach this sermon by myself. That's my biggest fear of preaching a sermon in the flesh, and I'm not doing that. I prayed about this thing because I knew it wasn't going to come out probably like last week's, where everybody would like what I'm preaching. All right, you have the First Amendment. They have a right to expect the speech that comes out of your mouth to witness to them about being saved. Even if you don't even know that person, but you know them of that person, you ought to go and try to get them saved. Even if they don't listen to you, they have a right to expect you to witness to them. They expect you to care for their souls. Did you know that? That's a right that they have. Only time some people ever witness anybody or they hear the name of Jesus or the Lord is at Walmart when a Christian gets mad and takes the Lord's name in vain. I'd like to think that you agree with me on this. That I hate that. When somebody attaches damn to God's name. I'd expect a lost person to do that. They're not saved to say God D. I mean, it's easy for them to do that. It hurts me when somebody does that. And I want you to know there that God's last name is not damn. But you're saved, you're on your way to heaven. And if you do that, if you say that word, you ought to come to the altar and repent. There's a lot of other cuss words you can use, but don't use that one. Amen? Glory to God. How dare you take the Lord's name in vain? He saved your soul. And one day, at the great white throne judgment, these folks that you cursed out and used the GD to are going to point their finger at you and blame you for your testimony. And by the way, don't blame Biden for that. That's right. Amen. If you take the Lord's name in vain, don't blame Joe Biden, much as I dislike him as a president. But it's not his fault. It's our cold heart that causes that. Do you have a lost son? lost son, lost daughter, lost parents, lost spouse, lost cousins. I love them, but you never tell them about getting saved, about Jesus Christ. What you going to do? You got a son that you love. You say, if I talk to them about the Lord, they will turn their back on me. You wait until they stand before God and turn around and point their finger at you. It's too late then. I don't think they'll turn their back on you. They may get mad at you. They may say some bad things to you. But glory to God, if you love them, you ought to try to get them saved. They have a right for their mama or dad or grandparents or uncle or aunt to witness to them and try to get them saved. Amen. Love them enough to keep them out of hell. Face the ridicule. Amen. Face the ridicule. You're going to get ridicule sometimes. You're saved. The world does not understand that. You have been born again. You say, preacher, I ain't coming back no more. That's why I'm loading your truck today. If this type of sermon will get you to quit your church, there's something wrong with you anyway. Amen? Well, I'll go somewhere else and I won't put up with that somewhere. You're right. Once in a while, God gives your preacher a sermon like this because we all need it, including myself. Remember something. Death equals heaven or hell. Glory to God, our life in this world is short. No matter how old you are, you look back at the age that you are right now, it seems you just got here. Try to get as many people saved as you can. They have a right, people. The First Amendment that comes out of your mouth, out of your speech, is to try to get them saved. Amen?
Amen.
Thank God. God loves life. God loves you. God brought you into this world. Your salvation is forever. There's no abortion in your salvation ever going to take place. God loves you so much, He wants to see you one day in heaven. But until we get there, God says, use what I've showed you for my glory up in heaven. And if any of these things you find yourself, boy, really got after me, and you're right, Brother Paul, then do something about it, all right? Once you walk out of here, it's between you and God, all right? All right, every head bowed, every eye closed.